For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, Scott Jagow, we'll talk to you again at the top of the hour in the 11 o'clock news. And right after that, we'll be joined by St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy. He's going to join us in studio for the last half hour of the show. Kind of a neat opportunity to visit with the chief about baseball is one of the things we'll talk about, but of course about the city that he oversees, the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, and our safety on these big days like today. Beautiful day, just a gorgeous day for soccer. St. Louis City SC playing at 1:45 today against LA Galaxy, the number one team in the Western Conference. I just drove by City Park on my way in, saw all the vendors pushing their carts out there and all the ushers and workers in line to get into the stadium, and it's just a spectacular day for City to be playing soccer. So I hope you enjoy yourselves as you make your way downtown, and I certainly will enjoy myself. I am going to the game, so I'm looking forward to that. Cardinals are at Yankee Stadium. If I wasn't at City Park, I'd be at Yankee Stadium most likely. I've had some great memories at the old stadium and certainly at the new one, and the Cardinals made some memories of their own yesterday. You know, when you grow up and you play baseball, you dream of moments like this. Brendan Donovan, third inning, two on in a 1-1 game.
The go-ahead run is at second base in Burleson, and he hits that high down the right field line. Is it gone? You bet it is. Big fly, Brendan Donovan, a three-run homer, and the Cardinals jump out on top. 4-1.
The Cardinals could have had more. Ivan Herrera with a hit, but Paul Goldschmidt was thrown out trying to take home plate from second base. That was in the third. Kyle Gibson, though, was rolling. You know, Gibson, I think, was very disappointed in his last start. Very. Against the San Diego Padres. Here he is facing none other than Juan Soto.
Kyle Gibson into the windup and the pitch. A swing and a miss, and he strikes him out for the second time. And the Yankees go 1-2-3 as they did in the first inning.
Gibson worked a scoreless fourth. He worked a scoreless fifth. He had a 4-1 lead in that fifth.
The pitch. And that is lined to Donovan, the second baseman, leaving Verdugo in scoring position.
Off the bat of Soto again, he was unsuccessful, and the Cardinals built a 5-1 lead when Herrera came through again with an RBI double in the sixth. Then Herrera scored on this.
Herrera leads away from second base. Walker takes a pitch in the dirt that rolls up the third baseline. Herrera breaks for third, and the throw goes down the left field line. An errant throw by Wells allows Herrera to score. 6-1 Cardinals.
Ooh, Austin Wells, the catcher who hit two taters in that game on Friday, doesn't come through there, and it's 6-1, and the Cardinals are going to run away with this game, aren't they? Not so fast. Eighth inning, this happens.
The runners lead all the way around. 2-0 for Anthony Volpe. A swing and a slowly hit ground ball. It is a flip to third, and Arenado wasn't over at the bag. A run scores. Everybody's safe. 6-2 Cardinals.
Uh-oh. So Kyle Gibson, who pitched seven strong, Matthew Liberatore comes into the game, and he starts giving up runs one after the other. This is a problem. Giancarlo Stanton.
The pitch by Kittredge, a swing and a fly ball. That's hit to deep center field, and that ball is off the wall. It's going to score three. Stanton doubles in three runs to make it a one-run game.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. So, Liberatore is charged with four runs on five hits in two-thirds of an inning. Andrew Kittredge pitches a third of an inning. He allows no runs on one hit. And the Cardinals, after eight innings, have now made it a 6-5 game, giving up four runs in the eighth. However, they still had something to prove. And in the top of the ninth, although they did not score, they handed the ball to their closer. He has been their best player all year, Ryan Helsley. And I say that even with Mason Wynn on my mind and Alec Burleson and some others who have contributed. But Ryan Helsley has been the MVP of this team. He has been amazing. And with 41 saves to his credit, he comes into the game at Yankee Stadium against the heart of their order. And here we go. So he strikes out Cabrera, but does it this way.
He's out. That's even better. I thought the call was on Helsley.
And the batter is called out.
For not being alert to the pitcher, I thought they were calling it on Helsley.
I was too.
Because he was walking to the mound.
Four.
But he's calling strike three. Wow, that's a break.
Yes, it is. That is an automatic strike and a strikeout, and it's a 6-5 game. Remember, Gleyber Torres then flies out to center. Two outs, and this game could come to a close, but they've got to get Juan Soto, and he doubles to right. They have Aaron Judge to deal with. Ryan Helsley facing Aaron Judge. They have Judge to deal with and decide after a little conversation to intentionally walk him and put the winning run on base. Aaron Judge is at first. Juan Soto is at second. The batter is Austin Wells.
The Cardinals lead by a run. The Yankees are down to their last strike on 3-2. The runners lead. There they go. The pitch is swung on and missed. That's a Redbird winner. A Redbird winner at Yankee Stadium in New York as the Cardinals hang on to beat the Yankees 6-5.
Great call by John Rooney. Great win for the Cardinals. Look, I know it has been a tough year. I know they're 500. I know that we'll be talking about what the future of this team is. There will be a time for that, certainly. But it's okay every once in a while to celebrate a win, and the Cardinals can do that. With a win over the Yankees today, they will win another series. Now, the playoffs are it's a minuscule chance of making it. They are six games out in the wild card. They would have to leap over the Braves, the Mets, and the Cubs, or if the Padres were to fall back for some reason, or the Diamondbacks for whatever reason. But right now, the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Braves own the three spots. Mets two back, Cubs four back, Cardinals six back. The division's really out of the question at this point. They're 12 games out. They're a 500 club. I mean, they are what they are. They're a 500 team, and the Brewers have been awesome. The Brewers are 80-56. It's just insane. They're 24 games over 500 and way better than I think anyone thought they would be. But they've won five in a row, and so have the Cubs. Cubs have won five in a row. They're 10 games out. Cardinals and Yankees today on KMOX. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol in his office at Yankee Stadium. We'll have John Mozeliak at 11:25 to close out the show. Chris May, Doug Armstrong, Chief Robert Tracy, Lutz Vandensteel, in between those two Cardinals leaders, back after this on KMOX.
Now the Manager's Chat, presented by Siteman Cancer Center. Siteman Cancer Center, national leaders in cancer.
The Cardinals lead by a run. The Yankees are down to their last strike on 3-2. The runners lead. There they go. The pitch is swung on and missed. That's a Redbird winner. A Redbird winner at Yankee Stadium in New York as the Cardinals hang on to beat the Yankees 6-5.
What a victory for the Cardinals at Yankee Stadium. And joining us from Yankee Stadium is the Cardinals manager, Oliver Marmol. Thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Not what's going on, man.
Not too much. Just keeping track of your team. The whole first segment of the show was about that game and going through some highlights. I mean, it really is fun. And I said this to the audience, that it is fun to celebrate big wins. And for a lot of people in that clubhouse, that is a big win. That's kind of stuff you dream about, some of those moments, aren't they?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool moment for a lot of guys, man. But to be able to keep that lead in the ninth there was important. It really was, man. You look at how that game was going from beginning to end, and the guys did a really nice job, had a good approach, did some things really well. And it got a little crazy there with Libby on the mound, just some soft contact that led to hits and some ground balls that found holes. But to be able to come away with the win yesterday here in Yankee Stadium was fun.
I know, and for Ryan Helsley to be able to do that in the ninth inning and all that he did to close that game out, you opt to give the free pass to Aaron Judge, not letting the modern-day Babe Ruth beat you, and Austin Wells comes through, or Helsley comes through against Wells.
Yeah, Wells comes through for us. I agree.
Yeah.
No, it's man, Wells has been swinging the bat really well, and he is, I mean, he just kills righties. But you can't let one of the best players in the game and Judge there beat you. If Wells gets you, then so be it. But it was a good game, man, and the theatrics were good. And for Helsley to be able to come in there against that part of the lineup and get the save with the one run lead was awesome to watch, man. Made some pitches on Wells and got the punch out. So yeah, super solid.
He said something in his post game interview with Mike Claiborne, something along the lines of, you know, I know our record is this, and I know that we've had some struggles, but he echoed something that you've said often. He said how much everybody in there wants to be great and how much fight is going on and how much desire there is to be great, that you're trying to fight your way out of it. Coming from Ryan Helsley, who obviously has been, if not your best player, your best player, if not your best, one of your top three for sure. Just, you know, I thought it was a good statement from him after what has been a tough year for everybody.
Yeah, and that's the reality. We dug ourselves a hole really early, and it's been tough to get back to where we need to be. There's a stretch there, some really good baseball, some injuries that have cost us. But for the most part, yeah, I hear you on the frustration. But as far as the commitment and the guys coming in dedicated to being great, that's been consistent. And on certain days, we do a good job of it, and certain days we get beat. But the mentality of you go down the list with Goldie and Nolan and Helsley, I mean, all the way through. I mean, Mason Wynn just posts every single day. I mean, doesn't want a day off, just wants to get after it. No different with Donovan. And I mean, it's been impressive. So as far as taking our best shot, man, I feel good about where the guys are mentally.
Do the guys talk about the Padres series with people not being in the seats? Does that get mentioned in there? When you see that?
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are here to play baseball. It does get brought up, but not to the degree that you may think.
No, I understand. And here you are with a chance to win a series today and try to take two out of three and hang in this race as best you can. You've also made a transaction. I see Steven Matz has rejoined the team. What a journey this has been for him, dealing with injuries and all kinds of stuff. What do you see for Steven?
Yeah, there's been a decent amount of injuries, man. He feels terrible about it because he wants to be able to help and hasn't been able to stay on the field long enough to do that. So he's active today. He will be out of the pen today, and depending on what happens, then we could start him here over the next few days and push guys back. So we'll see kind of how we get through this game and then make a decision post-game.
Miles Michaelis is your starter today, and we all – appreciate Miles. I mean, he's been a big personality, a big part of this franchise for a long time, but there have been some times where he just, it'll be a mistake or two, and that solid contact is what takes the other team over the edge. He's pitching to contact, isn't he, Ollie? He's a strike throw. That's what you want, but is it just missing the spot? Is it leaving it over the heart? What is it with Miles?
Yeah, he just doesn't have a ton of swing and miss. He's a pitch maker that pitches to the edges and mixes well enough to keep guys off balance. But there's certain days that doesn't go his way. But from a quality start standpoint, you start to look at league leaders and where he stands in the league, it's just providing a quality start, and he's way up there. But to your point, does he have swing and miss, and he's going to overpower you like some of the other guys that we face? No. But he has done a decent job in providing us innings.
And then the other move that you see Tommy Pham move out and Jordan Walker move in, Pham is going to get an opportunity to finish out this season, and so is Jordan. Jordan gets the call-up, and it looks like he's going to have a pathway to play fairly often, isn't he?
Yeah, and when you're looking at this decision with Gorman being in AAA at the moment, what that does is puts Donnie at second base every day, so you do have the ability to mix and match with who you want to play in left. at the end of the day, Tommy thought, I mean, in communication with him, and this, I mean, I love Tommy. I've known him for a very long time. And there's mutual respect there, and he wants to be a guy that could be in the lineup every single day. When we talked about it with Mo, he wanted to give Jordan that opportunity to come here and play every day now that you don't have to mix and match with Donnie and left and Gorman at second. So it does give him the ability to have some runway here, and we'll take the next several weeks to do exactly that.
Paul Goldschmidt starting to turn it on here at the plate. It's September 1st. I mean, who knows? Arenado already has. But what do you see from Goldie? What is the difference in Goldie?
When he's comfortable driving the ball to right center field and staying on the baseball that way, it usually leads to a pretty good run for him. And we've seen him do that several times now where it's just he stays on it with authority, like where he's actually driving the baseball to right center. And if he's early, he stays through the middle to pull side. But you're seeing some really intentful swings from him. They're not defensive. They're not in between. He's starting to look a lot closer to what we're used to seeing.
And then finally, I don't want to keep you too long. You're at Yankee Stadium. By the way, do you deal with a lot of more media there than anywhere else? Is it any different being at Yankee Stadium?
Not incredibly different, to be honest with you. No, there's other places where you get actually a little bit more hectic than here.
Yeah, I hear you. My last one was about Ivan Herrera. So Herrera behind the plate today. I see that he is getting the start. He's going to bat fifth. Herrera, we talked about this last week. He just has this hitter's he has the look of a hitter. And certainly yesterday and really since he's come up, he looks like he's been really delivering for you there. How has he been in both places, at the plate and behind the plate?
Yeah, he's definitely a hitter, man. This is a guy that loves to hit, has a knack for it, and works at it hard. Behind the plate, he's done a good job, man. He's going to continue to get better. He is learning every day. When it comes to receiving, he does a really nice job. But when it comes to handling the pitchers and pitch calling, this is something that he's put in a lot of work, and there's been a lot of improvement in those areas. And he should be proud of that because it's not easy, especially when you have all the information at this level and you got some veteran guys that have different ways of getting outs depending on what's working and what's not working that day. So it's an adjustment, but it's one that he's definitely taken on.
When I had Albert Pujols on last week, he said he was going to try to have breakfast with you in New York and hang with you. Were you able to catch up with the big man?
We jumped on a call. We usually try to grab breakfast here in New York. I have the family with me and the two little ones, and it was one of their birthdays, turning five. So I was trying to spend as much time with the little ones as possible.
Give a big happy birthday greeting from KMOX, if you would. That's awesome.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Ollie, thanks for the time. As always, appreciate it, and good luck today.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Ollie Marmol, after a 6-5 winner yesterday against the Yankees, goes after it today at 12:35. John Mozeliak at 11:25 today. We got a lot jammed in today. Chris Mays coming up next. Doug Armstrong at 10:45. Chief Robert Tracy's going to be in here at 11:05, 11:15. Lutz Pfannenstiel, and then Mo. How are we going to fit it all in, Drew? How are we going to do this? We will find out right after this. I got to turn my microphone on. Welcome back, everybody. Tom Ackerman with you on the home of the Billikens, and joining us is St. Louis University Athletic Director Chris May, coming to us from the campus of St. Louis University, just to our west. How are you, Chris?
Doing great. How are you, Tom?
Doing great. You got yourselves a ball game today. The women's soccer team is taking on Penn State. Here you go again against a nationally ranked team. How about the schedules here for the men and women out of the gate, Chris?
Yeah, both coaches, Katie Shields and Kevin Kalish, really elevated their focus in the non-conference to prepare them going into the Atlantic 10 play. And with the goal, as you know, here in St. Louis, our goal is to be in the NCAA tournament and make runs. And so today is a huge, huge game for our women's soccer program playing Penn State. We had a little bad taste in our mouth the last time we played them, got beaten overtime to go to the Elite Eight last year. But really a big opportunity for our women's soccer team today at 1 o'clock at Herman Stadium.
SLU comes in ranked in a 19th place tie by the United Soccer Coaches, 15th by Top Drawer Soccer. Penn State is 12th and 7th, respectively, in those polls. SLU with a record of 2-0-2. One of those draws was kind of a weird one, wasn't it, Chris? The one against Kansas City where the storm interrupted the game?
Yeah, it got cut at 70 minutes. We had lightning delay. But, you know, nonetheless, it was a tie, and we moved forward. And the team since that day has really played well. They've really come together, led by Emily Gaby, who's a prolific scorer. Emily Percelli back in goal. Hannah Larson, you know, leading in the middle. And then, obviously, the two-time All-American Lindsey Heckel, you know, leading the back with Sophia Stram. So really a fun team to watch. I invite everybody to come out to see this group of women because they are really special, and they've got a competitive edge and fire that's really, really fun to watch.
And a coach in Katie Shields who just has this thing moving right now. What a team they are. And what do you think the game of the year is so far? Is it the 1-1 draw with BYU, or is it the 2-0 victory against Mizzou?
I think the game of the year is today at 1.
I got you.
That's a layup. No, I'm just kidding. You know, there's been moments of brilliance, you know, in that BYU game. There was a moment, you know, in the Mizzou game. There's some young guns who are starting to, you know, get their feel. They've got some freshmen that are really starting to make a difference. So I would be hard-pressed. Katie would have a better answer to that than I. But they're getting better every game out, and today is obviously a huge, huge step to see how our development's going.
I was so impressed with Herman Stadium on my two visits there last week. I am working with the Herman Family Foundation on their Herman Trophy and getting out and about, shine that thing up and let's go out to SLU. And they went to the women's game on a Thursday against BYU, the men's game against Indiana, my alma mater, on a Friday, a great victory for Kevin Kalish's team. And the Herman Trophy was out. You all were so kind to have it out on the field and have Merrill Herman wave to the crowd. But back to what I was talking about, the atmosphere is incredibly stunning to me. And I've been to the games before, but the amount of kids, the youth soccer players, the parents, the enthusiasm, my alma mater, Indiana, just celebrated a crowd of 4,800, and they were, you know, touting it and talking about how big of a crowd that was. You beat it basically twice last week in those games.
Well, as everyone knows, St. Louis is a fantastic soccer town, and our community has been great to the Billikens, and we've got a lot of local players who play on both teams. That helps, but then having high level teams that can really compete at the highest level helps. So we're very, very blessed to have an unbelievable community behind this group. And that's because, again, the coaches have done a great job of digging into the community, doing camps, doing clinics. We recruit heavily in this area, and it shows in the fans and in the crowd. And you mentioned the youth. That's really the specialty to it, is when all those young soccer players come to see the Billikens play and think one day of what would it be if I could be a Billiken someday like that. So today's another great step for that. And we will enjoy it, and then we got a men's game tomorrow, and then we get ready for the big event down at City Park next Sunday.
That's right, the Bronze Boot. Looking forward to that. Today's game is at 1:00 at Herman Stadium. It's SLU women's soccer against Penn State. Just the last thing for you, Chris. People can watch these. Bill McDermott calls the action, among others, on ESPN Plus throughout the year. But that's really for a national audience. I can't stress this enough, that on a beautiful day like today, to take your kids down to a soccer game, can you let people know how easy it is? Maybe they don't know. How do you get tickets for college soccer game?
It's super easy. They can go to slubillikens.com and buy the tickets online, or they can just walk up to Herman Stadium and buy them there. It's an inexpensive, great way for families to come. We've got plenty of Dippin' Dots ordered for today, so all the kids will be loaded up in Dippin' Dots. But what a beautiful day in St. Louis, and to come out and watch some great high-level collegiate soccer is a great opportunity for people to participate with a great group of young people who are out there competing.
Parking seems pretty easy. You got the big garage there, Olive Compton. You've got a couple of others, don't you, areas where you can park?
Olive Compton, you've got the Laclede Garage just to the west of Herman. You've got streets all around, and then you've got other parking just north of the stadium. So there's plenty of parking for people to be able to get in and out. And again, Herman Stadium, as you mentioned, is one of the real jewels in college soccer, and we're very thrilled and honored to have it as the home of the Billikens.
Well, there will be a time to talk some hoops with you, but this is all about soccer and a big game today against Penn State at 1 o'clock. I saw Rebecca Tillett out last night, a sighting last night. Got to say hi to her. So,
big news coming on the recruiting front.
She, oh, boy.
She landed another good one, so that's gonna hit sometime soon. But both basketball teams are loaded up, and they're practicing. The men are on the court as we speak. And getting ready for a big season, obviously, with Josh and Robbie and Gibson and Isaiah and company. You'll see a lot. Billiken fans will see a lot out in the marketplace in the next month, kicking off with that. We've got an event on September 27th where we're inviting everybody up to see both teams scrimmage, a part of homecoming week. But we'll be playing hoops before we know it. But today, this week, obviously, soccer, huge, huge doubleheader with SIUE next Sunday. We welcome all St. Louis soccer fans to come and watch a really great celebration of St. Louis soccer next weekend at City Park.
Well, good luck today against Penn State, 1 o'clock at Herman Stadium, and thanks for coming on with us, Chris. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it, Tom. Have a great one. Take care.
You too. Chris May on the home of the Billikens, KMOX. Doug Armstrong next.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Our hearts go out to the Columbus, the Calgary, and so many different people connected to Johnny Gaudreau on the passing of the hockey star and his brother in a bike accident. They were hit by a driver who has been charged by being under the influence. That happened early Friday, late Thursday, going into Friday. So very sad, sad news in the NHL this week. I had a chance to talk to Doug Armstrong before that happened. This is a record.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Recorded interview from Thursday. What a gem of a person you have in Colton Parayko. I know this is not news to you, but I got a chance to spend some time with him and his crew on Monday at Meadowbrook in his golf tournament to benefit Ronald McDonald House. And I'll tell you, number 55 really gives back to this community, and we certainly appreciate it. And I know that you feel the same way about your defenseman.
Yeah, he's one of the top human beings, not only in the game, but around our society. He cares about everyone. And, you know, he lives around here year round now. So it's I'm not surprised to hear that. It's great to have confirmation, but he's a great guy for sure.
He sure is. What a crew you have. And, you know, he's now one of the older veterans, really, when you think about the how long he's been around and part of that Stanley Cup team. As you continue to make over this roster, you are getting younger. I do want to start with that. The move to extend offer sheets and successfully getting both Broberg and Holloway from the Edmonton Oilers. So now that we are a week or so removed from that, what is life like in the St. Louis Blues front office and looking towards the future with these two and more?
Well, it's funny. I come in every day to the Centene, and in my office I have the magnetic names up on the board, and it's nice to see some younger names, some fresher names, some skating names up there, and then Holloway and Broberg certainly fit into that. And it's I'm playing fantasy hockey now. Every day I come in and I move this guy with that guy to see what it looks like and sort of do the coach's job. But I really enjoy it. I'm excited about the additions that we've had this year. Our staff did a great job of pinpointing guys that could fit into what we're trying to build. And then we went to work as a group and brought in some great veteran players like Suter and Faskin, some younger players that are with great speed like the Joseph brothers and, you know, some size and length on the back end and Broberg and Joseph. And I don't know, we're just trying to get better every day. And I think we had a good summer.
You did. And that is interesting, isn't it? The ability now to kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together. Is that how you see it? Just how do all these pieces fit?
Yeah. You know, when we started when our season ended the year that it didn't go well and we had to trade our top players that were going to be unrestricted free agents, we were entering that asset allocation part of it, first round picks. And I feel now like I did when I came in here, where John and Larry, I thought, did a great job of acquiring a bunch of young players and young assets, some in the NHL, some just names on a board that we're going to be one day. And then you build a team. And I think we're closer to the team building part now, where how do they fit in? I think we have the prerequisite number of assets that can make us better. But what we need to do is now build this into a team.
You're referring, of course, to John Davidson, Larry Plough, and others who were running this team, and you came on as a succession plan for Larry. I remember JD telling the fans, saying, come grow with us. He wanted to build around a core. He used that line a lot, come grow with us. I do feel like it was, do you feel this way, that it was an admission by the Blues organization to say, look, we are going to go in this direction. Hang with us. We want to stay competitive. That's important. We want to have people knowing that we want to stay competitive, but we are going to build around, and we're going to tell it to you straight. I mean, did you feel like that was important, a line of communication with your fan base?
I do feel it's important to have a vision and to share it with the fan base so they understand, and they can judge us on it too, on what we're trying to accomplish. They don't have to guess at what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, quite honestly, when we had that disappointing year and started to acquire first round picks, we said we were willing to take our licks to try and build something. And one of the things that we talked to our ownership group about from a hockey perspective is we'd like to get, you know, as many players as possible within an age group of 5 or 6 years. And I think we were able to do that now. And Thomas and Kyra are on the outside of that group and Booch, but they're going to be the ones that I hope benefit the most from these young players coming in now and helping now and continuing to come in. And my thought process that we have as an organization is, let's say two-thirds to three-quarters of these players play in the NHL. Well, they could play in the NHL for 6, 7, 8 years together. And that's how you build something that's sustainable, is you learn each other's tendencies. And then when you work with someone day in, day out over a number of years, there's an obligation of that person that you feel to do your best. And I think building that foundation and building those obligations are what made us successful in the past and what will get us successful in the future.
Doug Armstrong with us on KMOX. Let's talk about those two players from the Oilers specifically, if we can. Broberg, who's 23, 6'4", about 215, good defenseman, really strong for them in the playoffs last year. Holloway also was a contributor. He's about to turn 23. What are their greatest assets, the two of them?
Both exceptional skaters, which is important in today's game. Both two, you know, I assume when you talk to them, you know, the process that they went through to having to play in the American League is never fun, especially when you're a first-round pick. But out of necessity and out of a development plan by Ken Holland, they were able to play very important minutes in all situations in the American League. And now they're prepared to do that in the NHL. And hopefully we're getting these guys as they're just about to put all those lessons into place and show that at the NHL level. And I expect them to grow. I don't expect what we see on January 1st of this year to be anywhere close to the finished product. I expect them to get better and better over the next 4 or 5 years. But they're very close now to understanding, you know, for a young player, it's not the ceiling. Everybody has a ceiling. It's how high your floor is. Because as a coach, what you want to know as a manager, as a coach, is what's a bad game look like? Like we can live, we'll know what we'll be the benefactors of a good game, but we can't, you can't sink our ship as a bad game. And I think Broberg and Holloway, their ceiling, their floor is closer to their ceiling. I think Jake Neighbors, I would put in that same boat. His floor is now closer to the ceiling. And now we have younger players like Kessler that has to get that up there. You know, I think the Joseph brothers, their floor is closer to the ceiling, Texier. So what we're trying to do is raise our floor as much as we are raise our ceiling.
When I looked at Holloway, and I feel like I know who Broberg is. He can be a top four defenseman, no doubt. Is Holloway kind of he's a really good two-way player. Is he kind of a pest? I mean, poking pucks away and hitting, can he be that type of player as well? You mentioned his great skating.
Yeah, I think he's a 200-foot player. He does get in on the forecheck. He can play center and wing. And, you know, I don't want to put comparables on him, but he's not the same player as Barbashev, but he can have the same effect on a team as a seventh forward. You know, if he's a seventh forward, we have a really great top six. But you get one injury, he can slide in there. You get a player that's not playing up to the coach's standard, he can slide in there. And I think, you know, he's going to be a really important player for us because he can play both center and the wing. He can touch both ends of the special teams at different times. But he plays a direct game with speed, which is going to be important for us.
Do you feel like in this camp and getting ready for the preseason and the regular season that you need to develop an identity as a team? Is each season anew when it comes to that, getting Drew Bannister together with his players and developing an identity for the season?
Yeah, I would say the coaching staff, they want to have a theme for the year. But as a manager, what you're looking to do is start a foundation and continue to build that foundation until it's gone, and then you have to start again. And so we, you know, I just go back to my experiences here. In 2010, when I took over as manager, you know, we started to build a foundation. Every year that foundation got a better layer, and it hardened to where we got to 2015 to 2022, where we weren't building more to that foundation. We had a strong foundation. We were trying to win championships. We won one. I think, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if we had won a couple of more, but it's a hard league. So right now, what Drew and I are trying to do is we're trying to build on last year's foundation. He'll come up with themes because every team is different. But organizationally, we're trying to layer on that foundation of what it means to be a successful franchise. And that's our goal, probably from 30,000 feet.
This succession plan really has been mapped out. And again, you've been very transparent with the fans on this. It certainly looks like you are building this team to be on the rise when Alexander Steen takes over the day-to-day operations, which will happen in 2026. So you have a couple of years left. Do I have that right? It's kind of, and how has he been in since the announcement that he is taking over?
Yeah, again, I go back to my experiences when I came in here with John and Larry. That was the plan. They gave me a couple of years to learn the system, to learn the people, to learn the people in the marketing department, learn the people in the finance department. You know, you get to talk to the game day staff around the arena. And to me, those are very important because they're all part of the team. They're all part of what the success is. And it just as important, I think they need to know what's important to Alex Steen. And he needs to have a foundational blueprint in his mind. And really, everybody in the group has to buy into it. It's not just the players. We have a mindset, and we want everyone to sort of have the same expectations and carry themselves the same way. And so I think having Alex here for 2 years with really without a job description is the best way to put it, is he's going to be touching every aspect of our franchise, and he's going to be learning. I would say the difference between when I came here, I'd been in management for 18 years, and I'd been a manager for 7. So I was just learning a franchise. He's learning what management is all about, but he has the benefit of knowing the franchise. So there's a little bit of a difference in what he just needs to know the management side. I needed to learn the city side, the team side, the personnel side. And so I'm here to help him grow on the hockey knowledge. I would say he's coming. What I found in July when we started development camp and going through free agency and going through the draft early in June for him for the first time and all this stuff, he's learning. He's taking in more information than he's giving. And I think that's important. I think what he wants to do is he wants to assess what's going on, understand the thought process behind it. And my job, I think, over the next 24 months is to share as much information as I can, tell him why we're doing it, get his feedback on what he thinks, and then over time we'll reflect. So
that's the succession plan for Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen. Big hour next hour, starting with Chief Robert Tracy of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, right after the news.
Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. Cards and Yankees, 12:35 first pitch today. And boy, we've got a lot to do here before we get to the pregame at 11:40 with Joe Pott. Last hour, Ollie Marmol, Chris May, Doug Armstrong. Pretty good trio there leading into this hour. Lutz Fahnensteel and John Mozeliak, who head the sports operations of their respective clubs, coming up. But first, we are joined in studio by none other than Chief Robert Tracy of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. It is great to be with you. How are you?
Tom, thank you very much for having me, and especially on a day when the Cardinals are visiting the Yankees in my Bronx, in my borough where I was born.
If you are watching on our stream, you can see that the Chief has a Yankee polo on, and proudly, you are a proud Yankee fan.
Oh, yes, I am. I mean, I was born and raised in the Bronx. I'm about third generation. I went to a lot of Yankee games, born about 3 blocks north of Yankee Stadium, and then lived about 15 blocks north on the Grand Concourse. So spent many of my early years, my father taking me to game, my brother and my sister as well.
You and I sat next to each other at an event recently for the Women's Safe House. And in chatting, we said, we always talk about getting together and talking baseball. Why not today? I mean, before the Cardinals take on the Yankees on September 1st. So the Cardinals finally got one. They finally got one in the Bronx. First time since 1964. Gibson, 60 years after Gibson.
Absolutely. What irony. I didn't think we would have a chance, the Yankees against the Cardinals. When I saw Gibson coming in, we'll be talking about it bookending almost 60 years later from 1964 now to 2024. And the Yankees almost came back, but the Cardinals stayed tough and took the game yesterday.
You talked about growing up being a Yankee fan. What is the baseball culture? We always talk about St. Louis being a great baseball town, and it is. And you have become a Cardinals fan, too. I mean, you're certainly involved in talking to them quite a bit. But what is it like in New York? Paint that picture for us.
Well, you got the rivalry in New York, obviously, with the Mets across town in Queens. We don't really care about the Mets because they're kind of irrelevant to us because of all the wins that we had. So, but it's, you know, I'm doing that in jest. I have a lot of Met fans that are friends. But when it comes to the Yankees, the storied history they have, coming here to St. Louis and knowing a lot about the Cardinals, what a storied history the Cardinals have as well, having the most World Series championships in the National League. And coming in and now experiencing it, getting to know the administration, the owners of the team, getting to know the fans and everything. You got an organization that's second to none. And also working with us in law enforcement, that's the biggest thing I look at. How do you deal with the community? How do you deal with law enforcement? How is the partnership? And the Cardinals have a world-class organization.
Well, they are a crown jewel. We had Kat Neville from Explore St. Louis in here last week and said that Busch Stadium is still the number one attraction in St. Louis and certainly in downtown St. Louis. You want to keep it bustling. When you see that and you see today on this side of downtown, City is going to play. I'm going to head over there and go to the game at 1:45 and people are out in the streets. How do you prepare for a day like today?
When you take a look at what's going on and, you know, adding to the Cardinals, adding to the Blues, now you had the St. Louis Soccer Football Club, St. Louis City. We have to make sure that we're a good partner, make sure people can get in safely, leave safely, and then the amount of fans that want to actually enjoy themselves around the stadium during before and after the game. It's pretty incredible because it's right next to my police headquarters, so I kind of live it when these games are going on. And on the way here, before I came to the studio to be on the show with you, I went around and talked with some of the officers, drove by, and just checking in on them and just saying hello to my officers and thanking them for the job that they're doing because they are doing a tremendous job out there. And I think the partnership gets better each and every day. And what a shot in the arm for that part of the city closer to Midtown or Central. It's more West End downtown or West downtown. And it's exciting. It's exciting to watch the Cardinals. It's exciting to watch the Blues. It's exciting to see what the St. Louis City is doing.
Well, you're a big sports fan, so I'm sure that is appealing to a big part of our audience. You're connecting with them in that way. But that is a big part of your job, isn't it, is to earn the trust of the community. You want everybody to be able to trust and feel an alliance with the police department.
Correct. And we want to make sure everybody enjoys this day. We want people to come downtown. You know, it's not just people in the city. It's the whole region that comes down and enjoys this. People coming from all over, just like they do in the Bronx. And I've had a big part of that in protecting people coming in and out. Just like in Chicago, and as a chief in Chicago, we had the Cubs and we also had the White Sox. Now here with the Cardinals, we got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure people can have a safe environment to come down and feel safe and then tell people coming down this is a place to go. And usually we have minimal things that happen. But when something does happen, you know, it usually goes to the head of the list and it gets sensationalized. So it is safe. I have a wife. I have 5 children. They've been to all the events. They go down and enjoy this city and they keep coming back. They live in other parts of the United States, but they love to come to St. Louis because of the events like are happening today. And they've been at soccer, hockey, and also and even at Battle Hawks. And the amount of talk about fans. Let's talk about the Battle Hawks. You know, top attendance in that UFL league coming in and almost having up to 40,000 fans coming in. It's pretty incredible for a league that's not the top tier league.
Final thing before we take a break is the biggest thing that you think needs to happen here in St. Louis for the perception to be lifted that St. Louis is safe. And you've already gone down the line already with what you're doing with your own officers.
Yeah, these officers are doing a tremendous job. And then we're working with other security companies. We're working with other police departments. We have to make sure that as crime is coming down, we got to be able to tell our story. Sometimes people are not going to feel it, but from 2 years ago, we're down 50% in overall crime when it comes to downtown. In downtown West, we're down 40% in overall crime. So it takes a while because there's perception that's out there. We got to sustain it. We got to make sure that we continue to do the job we're doing. We're recruiting more officers. We got to get back up to budgeted strength. But in the meantime, we got to keep everyone safe, have the right strategy out there. And if something does happen, we're always doing after action reviews to make sure what can we do better. And some of it is really property crimes and this car break-ins. What I do ask people, if you do come downtown, please do not leave a firearm in a vehicle, because that's what some bad actors are looking to do. And where in the past, because we've had a change in the circuit attorney's office, these people are being charged now when we make these arrests. So they're being held accountable. So when our officers are making the arrest, these people are being charged instead of getting back out within 24 hours and not even being charged. They're being charged. So that combination of the good police work, officers making arrests, circuit attorney acknowledging these arrests and making sure we're holding these people accountable is bringing some of that crime down. So I appreciate the partnership we have with the circuit attorney, Gabe Gore.
Appreciate it very much. He's going to hang with us for a little bit. He's the police chief, Robert Tracy. We'll talk a little ball as well before we leave at 11:35. John Mozeliak is going to join us at 11:25. Lutz Vandensteel is next from City Park right after this. Welcome back with Police Chief Robert Tracy, the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. I'm Tom Ackerman. We are finishing out sports on a Sunday morning. In the next 20 minutes, we're going to leave at 11:35 for Cardinal baseball, and I'm going to head over to City Park to go see St. Louis City SC take on L.A. Galaxy. Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director for City. Good morning, Lutz. How are things over at City Park?
Yeah, nice and sunny. Beautiful Sunday. I think it's a great day for a good game of football.
Say hello to Chief Tracy sitting in studio with us. He has his officers out there keeping everybody safe.
Hello, Chief Tracy. How are you?
Very good, Lutz. And Lutz, we're going to spend a little time on Tuesday. We really appreciate it for all you're doing and for a good cause to help raise money for St. Louis City and St. Louis County, and look forward to spending some time with Joe Buck on Tuesday's luncheon.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Carolyn is coming as well, so it will be a very nice event.
Yeah, well, it's going to be great.
Well, and have the officers out there. I already drove around the stadium, said hello to them. They're all setting up and everything to make sure you first a great atmosphere outside, inside, you get your win, and then we have a great time afterwards. So good luck today.
Thank you so much.
Lutz, I'm looking forward to being there as well, and I know that L.A. is the best team in the Western Conference. They are a challenge for sure, but the way that you're playing and scoring right now gives you a fighting chance in this, right? If you could tighten up defensively, you feel like you can play with this team.
Yeah, looking at the table, you know, pretty clear cut. We are the big outsider. We were it last year, and we liked it a lot. L.A. is this expensive team, bringing in lots of superstars. Definitely, when they attack, they are a force. But to be fair, you know, we played them five times so far and never lost. We always made it very difficult for them. There's something telling me today. I have a very positive feeling. I think the way they play and the way we play, it's a good matchup, because we're trying to, obviously playing at home, you know, we wanna be the king of the castle and don't wanna give them too much of a sniff early on. We can score. I mean, we saw that now with the new additions, that we are very dangerous when it comes to the final third. We create chances, we also score them. But we definitely need to make sure today that we defend better than in the last few games, because that's a team who can punish you very easy simply through individual quality. And I think it will be a great game, actually, for the fans out there. And as Chief Tracy said, you know, we need that win to still stay in the contention for the playoff spot. Some of the results went for us yesterday. Only Minnesota won, and the other teams who we still have to catch, they lost. So it's up to us to close the gap a little bit. And as I said, I have a good feeling today.
Got to stack those three-point games. Your trio that you were just alluding to, Betcher, Toyshirt, and Hartle, have been terrific, and they've even made Edward Leuven that much better. I do want to ask you about Kessler for the fans who are driving in. Henry Kessler, they're going to get a good look at him playing in an MLS match. How did he perform his first time around?
He did well in Portland. You know, of course, if you look at it and say, well, new defender, you conceded four goals, but honestly, he had a good performance. He's very good with the ball on his feet. He opens the game well. He reads it well. He communicates well. So definitely a very seamless transition from New England to come here. So as we spoke a few weeks ago, there was the defender out there, which I really wanted since a long time. So very, very glad to have him here. And the other three guys, you know, they are fun to watch, to be honest. Don't forget, Big Klaus is also back. He's on the bench, so he is available for selection. And just his presence being out there, or the presence of coming on, will definitely give LA Galaxy defense, which is we could call it the Achilles heel in their game, could give them a little bit to think of.
I was going to ask you about him for sure. When he started training, that was an alert sent out not only in St. Louis but throughout MLS that Klaus is back. It is going to be a beautiful day at City Park, and very much looking forward to this. Thank you for taking a few moments, and we wish you the absolute best today. I will maybe see you over there, Lutz. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, guys, and thanks for the support.
Always great to visit with Lutz Pfannensteel, sporting director for St. Louis City SC. That's a great building. Really fun place.
Well, it absolutely is, and I caught the back end when they were just finishing building it, and my office actually can overlook the stadium from where my chief's office is, and I got to watch the finishing touches and was very excited to be there for the opening day.
Makes us feel big time. Really actually makes us feel like an international city, a world city. People are starting to come in from around the world to get a glimpse of the team. And who knows, in 2026, when the World Cup is in North America, could St. Louis be the home of one of those teams in the FIFA World Cup? We'll see. I mean, we're still a ways away from that. We got a couple of years to think about it, or plan it, I should say. It's 11:23. We are 2 minutes away from John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Next.
Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back with St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy. I am Tom Ackerman. It's been a delight to have the chief in studio with us for this half hour, and he will stay with us for this next interview, our final guest of the show, as we depart for Cardinal Baseball at 11:40 with Joe Pott. This is John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Mo, say hello to Chief Tracy joining us on the line.
Good morning. How's everyone?
Doing great, and the chief is here. We got a headphone malfunction. Drew's going to make sure we take care of it. There we go.
There we go. Hello, John, and good luck today against the Yankees. But I just want to let you know, whenever you're not playing the Yankees, you have a Cardinals fan, and it's great for our city to see that team win.
I would have never guessed by your voice.
that was a good one yesterday, Mo.
It was a stressful one, but yeah, obviously, winning at every day is great. I think the way the Cardinals are looking at everything right now is, take series one day at a time. But yesterday was great, put up some runs. Obviously, that eighth inning became enormously stressful, but to get out of it the way we did was awesome. And anytime you can get a win is nice.
I don't sense a team that has thrown in the towel at all. I mean, I see a lot of intensity and a lot of passion in that clubhouse. As difficult a mountain as it is to climb, they still feel that they are in this, do they not?
Yeah, I think the mentality is mathematically we are very much alive, and from that standpoint, they just want to keep grinding. And obviously we made some roster moves this past week, and some people interpret it as we're throwing in the towel. Other people see it as a push to see what some of our younger guys are capable of doing, and that's certainly how we interpret it. And that was the purpose of it.
Yeah, we're talking, of course, about Tommy Pham, and now Jordan Walker has been placed in right field. When I look at this, and there will be a time and place to talk about the future of the St. Louis Cardinals in 25 and beyond, and we're obviously talking about this series right here and now, but I do see a pathway for Jordan Walker to play all the time, and he's not the only one. You have started to create some opportunities for some of these younger players. Is that part of the shift right now with this team?
It is. I mean, obviously we went into the trading deadline with the purpose of trying to make upgrades to our club, and the reality is the moves we made didn't have that type of impact that really should be taking away playing time from some of our younger players, and Jordan Walker specifically. And so after the month of August, we decided that it was time to give some of these guys some runway and see what they can do, and that can also be said for Newt Barr, Donnie Burley, knowing that they're going to get every day at bats now.
You do have Michael Ciani back in the mix, as well as Steven Matz is going to rejoin this team. Ciani's a little bit later, though. Matz today and Ciani in Milwaukee?
Exactly. Today was a scheduled off day for Ciani, so we didn't want to let him fly to New York to sit there and then have to then jump on a plane to go to Milwaukee. So just trying to think about his own welfare. You know, ultimately, we're excited about getting these guys back. Matz's role is still a little bit TBD. And then, obviously, Siani will get a lot of playing time in center field as we move forward.
Your catcher position right now, how do you see that lining up towards the end? Is there any update on Wilson Contreras? I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's been a tough season for him. Obviously, two bad breaks, no pun intended. Mm. And, you know, clearly right now, Paz and Herrera are going to get a lot of opportunity. And, you know, taking that younger player theme, we'll run with it for a little bit.
You do have Ivan Herrera starting at catcher today. And then, of course, you've seen some uptick from your big veterans. And Nolan Arenado has been doing it here for a little while. But Paul Goldschmidt in particular has taken a turn. Where do you see, how do you see that? Why has that happened for him?
Well, I mean, anybody that knows Goldie knows he's one of the hardest workers in this game. And he puts enormous amount of pressure on himself to perform and to perform at a high level. And I think the one thing that we've seen out of Goldie is it's not the lack of effort. It's unfortunately just hasn't had the results he's hoping for. But I think this last, say, 7 to 10 days, you know, starting to drive the ball the other way with some more consistency, which just naturally means when the ball is in the inner half, you're going to be able to get to it from a pull side. And so I just think his play coverage is there. I think, you know, he's starting to feel better about his timing. And, you know, having him being a productive hitter in our lineup is critical. I mean, you really think about our season, and there's a lot of things you can point to, but clearly the two guys on the corner, you know, we had high expectations for.
Mo, I asked Ollie this question and about the crowd and the sparse crowd against the Padres, those four games, and is it talked about in the clubhouse? And he said, it is, but not as much as you would think. I'd like to ask you that. How do you see that? When you see a crowd that light, what is your response to that?
I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, obviously, our fan base is not happy with our current product, and they're displaying that, I suppose, by not showing up. You know, especially look at that vibe you saw in New York, which is just, you know, it's incredible. It's dynamic. And, you know, that's something that we've become accustomed to here in St. Louis. And obviously our performance, our record is probably indicative of, you know, why we're starting to see smaller crowds. But, you know, it's something that, you know, from a business standpoint and a strategy standpoint, we're going to have to try to understand what the future looks like from that standpoint. Obviously, we know we're going to have an uphill climb with what the TV market is going to look like moving forward. And so, you know, we're going to have our challenges. And so, you know, I think our side is going to have to recalibrate a little bit. And, you know, I'm still hopeful, though, our fan base will support us and appreciate what we're trying to do. But, you know, I can understand their level of frustration, too.
Well, it is always good to visit you. You've always been open and upfront with us on this show and keeping us informed. We appreciate that. We wish you the best against the Yankees today. And even with the chief here wearing a Yankee shirt, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Really?
What am I going to do with this guy?
Well, John, I got to stay loyal to my team, but I will tell you, I'm a big fan of the Cardinals. Big fan of what they do. And when they win and we win, you know, it's great for the city of St. Louis. And most of all, I want to thank you and your organization of all the support that you've given to the community and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. It's second to none. And I can say that from being in other cities. So I appreciate that. And I am always rooting for the Cardinals. And I'd love to see them pick up on those six games, get into the wild card, and then get into those playoffs on a run.
Well, Chief, thank you. I appreciate those kind words. And, I'll definitely get someone to get you a jersey. You got to have a little red on it. As I always joke with people, if I cut you open, you're going to bleed red.
I had one on last Sunday. I was in at the stadium the last Sunday when they played. I did have a little red on me, so just they weren't playing my Yankees, so I was rooting for you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that support, guys.
All right, Mo. Thank you.
You bet, Tommy.
Appreciate it. 11:33, sports on a Sunday morning. We have 2 minutes to go, so tell me, I'll keep an eye on the clock, but favorite Yankee of all time and why?
You know, I have to say Don Mattingly. I was able to see him play. I actually, when I was a young police officer, I got assigned to Yankee Stadium. So there's like 50, 60 police officers that get assigned at the stadium. We had a locker room in the stadium. We worked every single game. I get to know some of the players to see them, and what an honor to be a Yankee fan growing up and then working Yankee Stadium as a police officer, dressing down underneath the stadium, having a locker room, and interacting with a lot of those players. So I have to say, Don Mattingly in my lifetime, and obviously it would be between Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And then you look at another era, you got DiMaggio, Mantle, and Yogi Berra, your hometown favorite here, growing up on Elizabeth Street on the Hill. And, the dynamics of that, and there's so many other things that tie between the Cardinals and the Yankees.
Wow, it's really well said, and you just made the day of a city 2.5 hours from here, Evansville, Indiana, the home of Don Mattingly, man, and a ton of Cardinals fans over there, so they're very happy to hear that. Chief, thank you for this. Really appreciate it.
No, I do. I appreciate it as well. And listen, I want to see the Cardinals do well. And they have a chance to pick up those 6 games, get into the playoffs as wild card, and storied franchise, the most World Series in the National League. And I am rooting them because I live here. My family lives here. This is my adopted city. And I hope to be here a long time, and I'm rooting for the Cardinals.
Chief Robert Tracy with us on KMOX. For our producer, Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. Coming up next in 5 minutes, Joe Pott has our Cardinals Radio Network pregame for Cards Yankees.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
I see. That's a great building. Really fun place.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I caught the back end when they were just finishing building it. And my office actually can overlook the stadium from where my chief's office is. And I got to watch the finishing touches and was very excited to be there for the opening day.
Makes us feel big time. Really actually makes us feel like an international city, a world city. People are starting to come in from around the world to get a glimpse of the team. And who knows, in 2026, when the World Cup is in North America, could St. Louis be the home of one of those teams in the FIFA World Cup? We'll see. I mean, we're still a ways away from that. We got a couple of years to think about it, or plan it, I should say. It's 11:23. We are 2 minutes away from John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, next.
Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back with St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy. I am Tom Ackerman. It's been a delight to have the chief in studio with us for this half hour, and he will stay with us for this next interview, our final guest of the show, as we depart for Cardinal Baseball at 11:40 with Joe Pott. This is John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. Mo, say hello to Chief Tracy joining us on the line.
Good morning. How's everyone?
Doing great, and the chief is here. We got a headphone malfunction. Drew's going to make sure we take care of it. There we go.
There we go. Hello, John, and good luck today against the Yankees. But I just want to let you know, whenever you're not playing the Yankees, you have a Cardinals fan, and it's great for us city to see that team win.
I would have never guessed by your voice.
That was a good one yesterday, Mo.
Oh, it was a stressful one, but yeah, obviously, winning at every day is great. I think the way the Cardinals are looking at everything right now is, take series one day at a time. But yesterday was great, put up some runs. Obviously, that eighth inning became enormously stressful, but to get out of it the way we did was awesome. And anytime you can get a win is nice.
I don't sense a team that has thrown in the towel at all. I mean, I see a lot of intensity and a lot of passion in that clubhouse. As difficult a mountain as it is to climb, they still feel that they are in this, do they not?
Yeah, I think the mentality is like, mathematically, we are very much alive. And from that standpoint, they just want to keep grinding. And, obviously we made some roster moves this past week and some people interpret it as we're throwing in the towel. Other people see it as a push to see what some of our younger guys are capable of doing. And that's certainly how we interpret it. And that was the purpose of it.
Yeah, we're talking, of course, about Tommy Pham. And now Jordan Walker has been placed in right field. When I look at this, and there will be a time and place to talk about the future of the St. Louis Cardinals in 25 and beyond, and we're obviously talking about this series right here and now, but I do see a pathway for Jordan Walker to play all the time, and he's not the only one. You have started to create some opportunities for some of these younger players. Is that part of the shift right now with this team?
It is. I mean, obviously, we went into the trading deadline with the purpose of trying to make upgrades to our club, and the reality is the moves we made didn't have that type of impact that really should be taking away playing time from some of our younger players, and Jordan Walker specifically. And so after the month of August, we decided that it was time to give some of these guys some runway and see what they can do. And that can also be said for, Newt Barr, Donnie, Burley, knowing that they're going to get every day at bats now.
You do have Michael Ciani back in the mix, as well as Steven Matz is going to rejoin this team. Ciani's a little bit later, though. Matz today and Ciani in Milwaukee?
Exactly. Today was a scheduled off day for Ciani, so we didn't want to like him fly to New York to sit there and then have to then jump on a plane to go to Milwaukee. So just trying to think about his own welfare. Ultimately we're excited about getting these guys back. Matz's role is still a little bit TBD, and then obviously Ciani will get a lot of playing time in center field as we move forward.
Your catcher position right now, how do you see that lining up towards the end? Is there any update on Wilson Contreras? I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's been a tough season for him. Obviously, two bad breaks, no pun intended. Mm. And clearly right now, Paz and Herrera are going to get a lot of opportunity. And, taking that younger player theme, we'll run with it for a little bit.
You do have Yvonne Herrera starting at catcher today. And then, of course, you've seen some uptick from your big veterans. Nolan Arenado has been doing it here for a little while. But Paul Goldschmidt in particular has taken a turn. Where do you see, how do you see that? Why has that happened for him?
Well, I mean, anybody that knows Goldie knows he's one of the hardest workers in this game, and he puts enormous amount of pressure on himself to perform and to perform at a high level. And I think the one thing that we've seen out of Goldie is it's not the lack of effort. It's unfortunately just hasn't had the results he's hoping for. But I think this last, 7 to 10 days, starting to drive the ball the other way with some more consistency, which just naturally means when the ball is in the inner half, you're going to be able to get to it from a pull side. And so I just think his play coverage is there. I think, you know, he's starting to feel better about his timing. And, you know, having him being a productive hitter in our lineup is critical. I mean, you really think about our season, and there's a lot of things you can point to, but clearly the two guys on the corner, you know, we had high expectations for.
Mo, I asked Ollie this question and about the crowd and the sparse crowd against the Padres those four games, and is it talked about in the clubhouse? And he said, it is, but not as much as you would think. I'd like to ask you that. How do you see that? When you see a crowd that light, what is your response to that?
I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, obviously, our fan base is not happy with our current product, and they're displaying that, I suppose, by not showing up. You know, especially look at that vibe you saw in New York, which is just, you know, it's incredible. It's dynamic, and, you know, that's something that we've become accustomed to here in St. Louis, and obviously our performance, our record is probably indicative of, you know, why we're starting to see smaller crowds. But, you know, that's something that, you know, from a business standpoint and a strategy standpoint, we're going to have to try to understand what the future looks like from that standpoint. Obviously, no, we know we're going to have an uphill climb with what the TV market is going to look like moving forward. And so, you know, we're going to have our challenges. And so, you know, I think our side's going to have to recalibrate a little bit. And, you know, I'm still hopeful, though, our fan base will support us and appreciate what we're trying to do. But, you know, I can understand that level of frustration, too.
Well, it is always good to visit you. You've always been open and upfront with us on this show and keeping us informed. We appreciate that. We wish you the best against the Yankees today. And even with the chief here wearing a Yankee shirt, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Really?
What am I going to do with this guy?
Well, John, I got to stay loyal to my team, but I will tell you, I'm a big fan of the Cardinals, big fan of what they do. And when they win and we win, you know, it's great for the city of St. Louis. And most of all, I want to thank you and your organization of all the support that you've given to the community and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. It's second to none, and I can say that from being in other cities, so I appreciate that, and I am always rooting for the Cardinals, and I'd love to see them pick up on those six games, get into the wild card, and get into those playoffs on a run.
Well, Chief, thank you. I appreciate those kind words, and I'll definitely get someone to get you a jersey. You got to have a little red on it. As I always joke with people, if I cut you open, you're going to bleed red.
I had one on last Sunday. Well, I was in at the stadium the last Sunday when they played. I did have a little red on me, so just they weren't playing my Yankees, so I was rooting for you.
All right. I appreciate that support, guys.
All right, Mo. Thank you.
You bet, Tommy.
Appreciate it. 11:33, sports on a Sunday morning. We have 2 minutes to go. So tell me, I'll keep an eye on the clock, but favorite Yankee of all time and why?
You know, I have to say Don Mattingly. I was able to see him play. I actually, when I was a young police officer, I got assigned to Yankee Stadium. So there's like 50, 60 police officers that got assigned at the stadium. We had a locker room in the stadium. We worked every single game. I get to know some of the players to see them, and what an honor to be a Yankee fan growing up and then working Yankee Stadium as a police officer, dressing down underneath the stadium, having a locker room, and interacting with a lot of those players. So I have to say Don Mattingly in my lifetime, and obviously it would be between Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And then you look at another era, you got DiMaggio, Mantle, and Yogi Berra, your hometown favorite here, growing up on Elizabeth Street on the Hill. And, you know, the dynamics of that, and there's so many other things that tie between the Cardinals and the Yankees.
Wow, that's really well said, and you just made the day of a city 2.5 hours from here, Evansville, Indiana, the home of Don Mattingly, man, and a ton of Cardinals fans over there, so they're very happy to hear that. Chief, thank you for this. Really appreciate it.
No, I do. I appreciate it as well, and listen, I want to see the Cardinals do well, and they have a chance to pick up those six games, get into the playoffs as wild card, and storied franchise. The most World Series in the National League, and I am rooting them because I live here. My family lives here. This is my adopted city, and I hope to be here a long time, and I'm rooting for the Cardinals.
Chief Robert Tracy with us on KMOX. For our producer, Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. Coming up next in 5 minutes, Joe Pott has our Cardinals Radio Network pregame for Cards Yankees.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.